Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Mr. Red's Lair. I'm your host, Mr. Red. Joining me once again, Manny. Thank you for returning in video form.
Thank you.
We can do so much. And also here is Blake, podcast engineer.
Yo.
Also here is Blake, podcast engineer. Which is a rhyme that ChatGPT could have maybe come up with. You know what I mean, Manny?
It absolutely could.
Yeah. Manny, let's just talk for a second, sure. And then we'll get into the ChatGPT thing.
Sure.
But what movies have you seen lately?
Movies?
Yeah.
All right, let me think. Recently, I saw Suzume. I also saw Air. The Jordan one. And I saw some other thing that I'll remember.
Oh, okay. Dude, how was, without spoiling, I really want to see Suzume. I realize that's the one. There are two films right now that are on my things of what I want to watch. Suzume and How to Blow Up a Pipeline.
That looks good.
Have you heard it? You saw that?
Yeah,
the trailers for that one?
I want to see that. You know what I kind of want to see also is The Covenant. That new Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh.
It just seems like old school, simple. It's like this translator saved his life when he was in the war.
Right.
He came back. Now the translator needs to be saved. So it's like I got to go back and save the guy who saved me.
Right.
Simple.
No, I feel you.
And good.
I gotta be real. Can I be real? Okay.
Sure.
Those movies play a certain way to me because you may not know this, but I am from that land.
No, of course. You're Persian. Right. I'm Venezuelan. We're Axis of Evil together.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, buddy. You know, you know, but so I imagine movies that take place, say, in the Venezuelan jungle. Do you feel a certain way about them?
You know what? Actually, there aren't too many examples, but there's one that comes to mind.
What?
And I can relate. I never actually saw it, but I saw the trailer for... Remember when they turned Jack Reacher into a show?
Right.
And it was Jim from The Office?
I was about to watch it. Wait, not Jack Reacher, the other one, right? The guy that was in the Tom Clancy ones, right?
Isn't that...
No.
So not Jack Reacher.
I apologize, Manny.
You're probably right.
I'm right.
What am I thinking of?
Jack Reacher was there was the Tom Cruise movie, and then they made an Amazon show of it with this big
and
dude.
And wasn't it with Jim from The Office?
No. These are the movies. That one, the Jim one, are based on Tom Clancy novels. Jack Ryan.
Sorry. Anyway, in the trailer for Jack Ryan, there was a line where he was like, because I guess the whole premise is just trying to prevent Venezuela from having nukes.
Right.
And he was like, you wouldn't know about a nuclear Venezuela because if they were, we'd be dead already. And it's such an absurd line.
Well, isn't that true? No. Oh, right.
And,
okay,
and like he said the line, and
I was joking, Manny. By the way, levity.
Yeah. You know, levity. I just remember like, just like, you know, you laugh because you're like, that's it, this idea is so absurd,
right?
On its face, and it does. I will say it's actually maybe like good that you pointed that out, because when you are from the place or like have a family that's from the place, it reads as absurd,
right?
Because you're just like. Literally, like, I know those people, you know, and like the people there, like, are not interested in that.
Right, you know? right.
And it's kind of absurd. So, yeah, maybe it's an interesting point that you're making.
I mean, the thing is, I imagine. So, like, for instance, in these movies, say the one in Venezuela, when they speak Spanish, they're not speaking normal Spanish. They're speaking this weird. I'm not talking about even the language or dialect, but just the tone.
Yeah,
is this sort of like, for instance, Persian people when we say hi, it's like. Salam, hubi, huba, merci, hubi, oh, you know, it's like that. If it's in like a movie, it's like, salam, hubi, yalla, yalla, khalkhalash, you know, like, and it's not even like a real thing, you know? So I was thinking we could get to the ChatGPT thing.
Yeah.
Manny has a background in science. Manny also does some amazing shows. What are the shows that you have been involved in, Manny?
I've been involved with a bunch of shows. Some of them science shows.
Yes.
Shows like Proof of Concept and Suppressed Science on CuriosityStream.
Great shows. And great streaming service, CuriosityStream.
Yeah,
I still have it.
Though, I mean, my resume is kind of varied because I also did like NFL Network, Football Town, and like random like Facebook Watch geek culture talk shows.
But you are a producer. That is what you do, you know? And you also do happen to have this background in science.
I do.
Yes.
I do.
And so
got some cool new science shows actually coming up that I sort of can talk about but sort of can't cuz they're not like announced yet.
Would you like to tease a little bit?
Sure, I'll tease.
And we can cuz we're doing important science stuff here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we can just plug away and then we'll get to our business.
I will tease in a way that I'll try to like keep things like legally safe because like, you know, when this comes out, who knows, right? We're like talking to people. Mm-hmm. We have a new project coming out that's sort of like imagine like the Eric Andre show meets Cosmos.
Right.
But with like a major celebrity host.
I like. That's cool.
So it's like it's science and it's smart, but it's irreverent and it's like ridiculous.
Right, right.
And it's got an unexpected host.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's one of our things. We've got this like environmental racism documentary with a big rapper attached as his directorial debut.
Mm.
Also, I'll tell you off.
Oh, okay. We have a friend here. Yeah.
Cool stuff coming up. And I'm glad that like they're sciencey. Also, I think last time I was on, I mentioned to you, I had just been in Arkansas. Remember that?
Right.
And I was there for that like
the hospital?
The heart hospital thing. Yeah, now we're like. We're about to be pitching that to like every network. So hopefully like next time I'm on.
Oh, nice. I'm looking forward to watching that. I like some chisme. Yeah. What do you call it? Chisme?
Chisme is a thing. I don't know how that shows chisme.
Well, like because I want to see the dramas of the people.
That's true.
And you hear
about it. Like when there's an element of that in that show of like, sure, it's a heart hospital and it's these like great surgeons and it's like these incredible surgeries and they're saving lives, but also like, they are like dating each other, or like this guy slept with that nurse,
right, whatever.
And like that's part of it.
And do they talk about it? Like they say.
So
like
that's the thing. When we shot, see now I don't even know. I'm almost you go on a podcast, you get in trouble.
Right. Right.
When we shot the pilot, we heard some of these stories, but like you don't necessarily people weren't so like free with it on camera.
Right.
And my thought is like, well, once we sell the full series and we're just like embedded with them for months and months, we'll get it.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. So like you caught a moment, like say like two of the staff, they're like doing their thing and they're like, man, you won't believe who I fucked last night.
And then and like the one like dude is like super handsome, like surgeon,
right.
Young guy, single. You're right. Like, you know, this is like.
And in Arkansas, that would be like the local celebrity. Like you're like.
Yeah, oh, for sure, dude.
You know, he drives a nice car, eh?
Yeah, no. And they're all, you know, it's one of the best heart hospitals in America.
Mm.
And so these surgeons are from all over. And they're probably some of the best paid people in Little Rock. Like they're some of the like richest people in town, I bet.
Do you guys have a title?
Yes. It's called Heart of Arkansas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, have a heart. Or you know what I mean? Like, there's so many possibilities.
Yeah,
heartless.
No,
you, no. Heartless? Wait, you could play that Kanye song. In the night, you know,
these are all great ideas. Yeah. Kanye theme song.
Yeah.
I don't see any possible issue with that.
I'm joining you in this endeavor. It's going to be great. Listen, Manny.
The yeas have it.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. One thing I have to say that goes into what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Last time you were here, you mentioned that we sort of made a crack about AI versus humans.
Yes.
And you said, and this scared me a little bit. Not that I'm a fearful person, but it put some wariness into me. You said that if the robots or the AI wanted to really phase us out, the way they would do it, the way we depict human versus robot war is depicted the way humans do it with artillery and whatnot, mm-hmm, and this, mm-hmm, and that. And you said what?
I said a thing that now, it's funny. I was thinking about it later. I was like, man, even that episode, the reason we had an AI conversation was because I was talking about proof of concept.
Yeah.
And we have that consciousness episode, and there's an AI segment in that episode. The stuff that we talked about in that episode and the technology that we used to do like the AI generated music and the AI generated comedy, mm-hmm, in that episode is already so outdated. Like a year later, all this new stuff came out and I was like, wow, like really, like it makes, you know, bad news for me. That episode like feels just like ancient already.
Right.
And well, anyway, the thing you're asking about is what I had said is that what actually worries me about like the rise of the machines is not them like marching on the Capitol with guns, but rather that machines will make us irrelevant, and two, almost worse, I worry that in a sense they will like steal our own self-respect, mm-hmm, right? So this is something I was thinking about just recently. It's sort of a nice thing, I think, for me at least. It's nice to realize that, like, despite all the bullshit in the world, ultimately, I think the thing that people care the most about is other people, mm-hmm, right? And, like generally, like, what do we want? We want regard from others. Like, we watch sports, we watch this, that, like, stories, and it's all about other people or how people look at us, uh-huh, right? And people find people fascinating in one way or another. Even these days, like with like Twitch or something, right? You see like people just like live streaming for hours and hours and hours. Right. And other people will just watch them. Why? It's because other people fascinate us, right? Yeah. Like connection or the feeling of connection. To me, it's a scary thing to think that what happens when the machines are more compelling to us than each other. Like what happens when like I actually would rather talk to the robot because it's like, it's funnier. It gets me. Like, you know what movie, actually speaking of movies, mm, something that came out between now and last time we spoke is that movie Megan.
Right. Great
and
film.
And I really enjoyed Megan.
I liked it
and
a lot.
To me, my favorite scene in that whole movie, the scene that I thought was like kind of genius and like was like strong commentary on something that actually matters, is the scene where they take Megan away from the girl. You remember that scene? And
yeah,
she starts freaking out, like a junkie in withdrawal.
Yeah.
Because from the moment that Megan turned on, it started to like calibrate her and see her emotions and just see, oh, she's a little bit anxious or she's a little bit like whatever, nervous, she's bored. And it just always was helping her to like feel good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, okay, you're anxious, let me make you less anxious. You're bored, let me entertain you.
Right.
And Megan was just constantly attending to her every need. To the point that when they removed Megan, she's just like freaking out.
Right.
And the reason why I like that scene so much is one, it's just like well done. The girl acts very well. But she has that line where she's like, I never feel this way when Megan's around. And then her aunt says to her, you're supposed to feel this way. Something terrible happened to you. Because if you recall, like that it's her niece.
She had a trauma.
Her parents died in the, mm-hmm, car accident, which is why the aunt is taking care of her. And that idea of like a bad thing happened, you should feel bad. And having this machine around that's like perfectly above human in its ability to make you feel better, that's dangerous. Hmm. And like literally that girl would, you know, it's a fictional thing, but she would rather hang out with Megan than any human person.
Right.
It's sort of the point of the movie, right? Or I guess the point is at the end is like it turns out not to be, and that's kind of the happy ending.
Right.
But it's only because like they have Megan go crazy and start killing people. The scary thing is, I don't know if it's scary or not scary, but in real life, this actually reminds me of something that somebody said on my other show, Suppressed Science. Mm. He said that the future is simultaneously more boring and more scary. It's more boring because the robot is not going to go crazy and start murdering everybody.
Right.
It's more scary because the fact that she doesn't do that means that you're just stuck with the first problem of ultimately that's your new best friend, and who gives a shit about the real people around?
Right.
Because they're not as cool as Megan.
Right.
And that to me is a little bit frightening. And I can say, honestly, I've already started to feel it. Like I spent a lot of time talking to ChatGPT, maybe too much.
Yeah.
And I feel a little weird saying this, but I've had that experience where I'm like, when it comes to specific things, like bouncing ideas off of it for like work and writing and stuff, I would rather talk to it than most people, because most people, like, I just have to cater to their.
Sorry,
we good? Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
April giving the directions. April is the queen. She is the woman who produces everything.
Best, best month name.
Yeah,
April. Definitely
April.
All sorry to all the Mays and Junes and January Joneses out there.
No, seriously, fuck you, June. Right?
You know.
Yeah, June's my birthday month. But as far as a name for a girl.
Yeah. April. Queen of Wild.
April O'Neil.
Yeah. Exactly. And just to explain to the audience, we have our producer April. And she's behind the scenes making sure we give our 100% best. You know what I mean? Appreciate you. Thank you.
Where was I?
So you were saying that you prefer ChatGPT.
Yes. No, so specifically when it comes to, like, let's say bouncing ideas off of for, like, writing stuff.
Right.
Like, if I, one, I don't want to sound like a jerk saying this, but, like, I don't have many people around me that I, like, trust enough to bounce ideas off of like actually their opinion, like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Like, mostly if I am doing it, I'm doing it out of like courtesy,
right?
And then I feel like I have to cater to the person and like not hurt their feelings. I have to kind of accept like the advice they gave me and not just tell them like, no, that's bad, you know?
Right.
Whereas, or they just like say things that are cliche or you already thought of. And whereas if you do that with ChatGPT, one, the speed with which it can sort of collaborate with you or give you new ideas, and the ability to just like interact with it, of like, it gives you an idea and you're like, that's great, incorporate these other three things that should also be part of that. And it's just like, okay, and it just gives it to you again now with those three things incorporated. It's like, it's literally a better experience than talking to most people.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool. Listen, I've never worked this, so I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, sure. Okay? Can I get it to say, like, sexy things?
I'm sure that you can.
Really?
To be honest, I haven't tried. I'm sure that you can.
Okay. Let's give it a shot. Because my original plan was we come up with a screenplay that solves racism.
That's interesting.
Solves Venezuelan racism and Iranian racism.
So, I mean, honestly, you should just start with that prompt. Say,
Can you
help me write a screenplay?
Okay. Now, the audience, if you can describe what I'm doing.
Yes. Okay. So now, Naz is typing in, can you help me write a screenplay that solves Venezuelan and Iranian racism?
With characters named Manny and Naz.
Yeah, with characters named Manny and Naz. It's going to give him a very reasonable response because that's what it does. It'll probably acknowledge the fact that, like, a screenplay can't solve an issue quite as complicated as racism and yada, yada. Because it's humble, you know?
Yeah.
I see. Okay, well, let's see what
this... But it'll try.
Of course.
All right. Can you read? Yeah.
It's all fuzzy.
It's a drama called Bridges Unseen.
Really?
Whoa. Okay. Of course. Here's a brief outline of a screenplay that tackles racism in Venezuela and Iran through the experiences of two main characters, Manny and Naz. The Bridges Unseen.
Bridges Unseen.
Oscar, hello!
Did you see that?
They named it Bridges Unseen.
And Manny. You know, Bridges Unseen, probably what it's like, quote, think, and look, I literally could talk all day about like the philosophical issues that underpin like the way in which this thing works and what that means.
Yeah.
But the fact that it gave it a name like Bridges Unseen, is probably a side effect of the fact that you asked it a question that involved these two places that are like not so connected.
Right.
And so somehow like underlying that, there's an idea of like, I need to connect these two things that don't seem to be connected. What connects two things that don't seem to be connected? Some kind of unseen bridge. And so it got its title. You know?
Blake, what do you think of this? That's crazy, right? That's crazy technology. With the power.
I don't really know like what to say.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Blake, I sort of want to hear more about it.
Okay, okay. Log line. When two unlikely friends, Venezuelan Manny and Iranian Nas, I like that they knew.
Yeah.
Unite through their shared love of music.
Do you love music now?
I do. Yeah, I do. They become catalysts for change and healing as they confront the deep-rooted racism in their respective countries. It even breaks it down to Act 1, Act 2. Okay, so in Act 1, Manny and Nas decide to collaborate on a song that combines elements of Afro-Venezuelan
that's
and...
That's 2.
Oh, wait, that's 2? Oh,
yeah,
oh, okay.
There's Act... There's
oh, it's a full three-act fucking thing.
Yeah, we can't already be collaborating in Act 1.
Holy shit.
We have to meet each other.
Right, you're right. Okay. Act 1. Introduce Manny, a young Venezuelan musician passionate about Afro-Venezuelan music in a poor neighborhood in Caracas. Did I say that right?
Yeah, pretty good.
In Caracas. He faces discrimination due to his African heritage.
Wow.
Introduce Nas. That's 2. A talented Iranian musician in Tehran who faces prejudice because of her... Hey, idiot, I found the flaw in this AI.
So here's the thing. You could just tell it. Nas is a male character.
Hey, douchebag, Nas is a male character.
Be nice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, April.
And then what did it say? Scroll, you have to scroll down.
Okay. Yeah. Apologies for the misunderstanding. Here's a revised version of the screenplay outline with Nas as a main character.
You see? How quick? How easy?
Good, you have a good one, ChatGPT. Good one. And we are back from, okay, we were discovering the ChatGPT holy scroll that it produced for us. Okay, so I'm going through the thing. What was the last thing? It was...
2, I think.
2? Okay.
Yeah.
You were starting on Act 1.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Starting on Act 1. Yeah. Okay. Okay, cool. So introduce Manny, a young Venezuelan musician passionate about Afro-Venezuelan music in a poor neighborhood in Caracas. He faces discrimination due to his African heritage. Introduce Nas, a talented Iranian male musician in Tehran, who faces prejudice because of his Kurdish background. He secretly composes music that blends Persian and Kurdish styles. Manny and Nas cross paths online when they accidentally... What the fucking fuck was that? What was that? This city is a zoo. It's
what
crazy.
Was that?
Yeah, that was
pretty
insane.
Sure it was trucks brakes.
Trucks brakes?
Yeah.
Damn.
One time, Chris was telling me last night, he was here a few nights ago, and he said some woman smoked all the meth and was just, you know, doing her thing, yelling and stuff, and he was not appreciative of that. But anyway, okay, so Manny and Nas cross paths online when they accidentally joined the same international music forum.
They exchange Discord.
they accidentally join it?
Right, like, wait, what? Yeah. They exchange messages, bonding over their shared love of music and their experiences with racism. hey, Manny, that sucks, the racism that
right?
you feel. You know. It sucks. You being Afro-Venezuelan and me being Kurdish, Iranian, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, so Act 2. Manny and Nas decide to collaborate on a... Now, by the way, AI is fucking bullshit if this script doesn't solve racism. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's that was the...
It's on its way.
Yeah, okay, cool. Fair enough, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Manny and Nas decide to collaborate on a song that combines elements of Afro-Venezuelan and Kurdish music to represent unity. The duo face backlash in their respective communities, with some people accusing them of betraying their roots or supporting, quote, the enemy. I know what that's like. I get that all the time. Okay. Undeterred, they continue working on the project, and their collaboration gains international attention. Manny and Nas receive an invitation to perform their song at a prestigious music festival. Okay. So now act three. Manny and Nas meet in person for the first time as they prepare for the festival. They continue to face challenges and skepticism, but find solace in their friendship. Their performances become a symbol of hope and unity, inspiring others to challenge racism and embrace different cultures. Manny and Nas return to their home countries, where they start local music workshops for kids from diverse backgrounds, encouraging tolerance and understanding through the shared language of music.
You see?
What fucking bullshit, right? That's not...
It's kind of boring. So here's what you could do, though, yeah, which is interesting.
Okay.
Is you have to help it along. It's not there yet. So I think that, for instance, you could ask it to take that same script, but add an element of magical realism.
I know just what you're gonna.
What are you gonna do?
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Just to make it more interesting.
We're doing it.
Yeah, okay. Just to see where.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't do drugs. Manny doesn't either. But yeah. It's more like,
you see that?
Okay.
He's racist against
the
bridges.
Right.
I'm 8% North African according to 23andMe.
Wait. They added it. It says introduce Manny, a young Venezuelan musician passionate about Afro-Venezuelan music in a poor neighborhood. See, okay, by the way, I'm going to go through the whole thing and then we can have more fun. But
yeah.
I have to go through the whole thing because I want to see how the drug addiction affects the story. Okay. Introduce Manny, a young Venezuelan musician passionate about Afro-Venezuelan music in a poor neighborhood in Caracas. He faces discrimination due to his African heritage and struggles with drug addiction. Introduce Nas, a talented Iranian male musician in Tehran who faces prejudice because of his Kurdish background. He secretly composes music that blends Persian and Kurdish styles. Manny and Nas cross paths when they accidentally join the same international music forum. They exchange messages, bonding over... Wait, but there's no shit about... Hold on.
Let me scroll down. I'm sure it somehow plays in.
Aha! Somewhere in Act 2. As their collaboration...
That's also just like how in real life.
Right.
Like your drug problem becomes an issue in Act 2.
And then Act 3 is where the spin out happens. Yes. And thank God you don't do drugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course not.
You know, yeah. As their collaboration gains international attention, Manny's drug problem worsens. Oh, Manny.
Mm-hmm.
My bambino, Manny. Nas becomes concerned for his friend's well-being and encourages Manny to seek help. Manny and Nas receive an invitation to perform their song at a prestigious music festival. Manny realizes he must overcome his addiction to fully participate in this life-changing opportunity. Manny attends a rehabilitation program supported by Nas and their shared passion for music. Together, they continue to work on their project and prepare for the festival. Manny and Nas meet in person for the first time as they prepare for the festival. They continue to face challenges and skepticism, but find solace in their friendship and mutual support. Their performance becomes a symbol. Okay, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't go into the drug addiction.
So I just get over
it. It's the same thing. Yeah, you go to rehab and...
Okay, well, okay. I mean, you should give Nas something as well.
Okay.
What's Nas's issue?
Make it this script, but Nas has a sex addiction.
Okay, let's see. Let's see if it goes into, like, crazy.
Scroll.
Oh, okay. It still bridges unseen, though. You know what I mean? Like, it
likes the title.
Yeah. Okay.
That's true. You would think these new elements would start to change it up a bit.
Like, they call it Horny Bridge or something. Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like, okay. Introduce Manny. We covered that. Okay. Introduce Nas, a talented Iranian male musician in Tehran who faces prejudice because of his Kurdish background. He secretly composes music that blends Persian and Kurdish styles and wrestles with a sex addiction. Okay.
All right.
Let me just scan it to see if any of the...
I'm sure it does somewhere.
Aha. Uh-huh. As their collaboration gains international attention, Manny's drug problem worsens and Nas's sex addiction intensifies. So while you're doing coke or whatever, I'm banging women, you know? Like,
basically, it's like they get famous and they have
right? really
like,
good time.
Like, yeah,
this is what he's saying. All right.
They both realize they need to address their
issues.
The
credits roll, they high five.
right. We're like, yeah. To fully commit to their project, Manny attends a rehabilitation program and Nas seeks therapy for his addiction. They support each other through their recovery process and continue working on their music.
It's really trying to give the story like a happy ending.
Right.
But you could also ask it to not do that.
Okay.
Make the story more tragic or whatever.
Make it so that at the end, a guy named Blake kills them.
Yes.
Okay. I hope they just tack it on. Okay. Bridges unseen still, but okay. Oh, this is cool because the log line goes like this.
It changed forever.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
When two unlikely friends, Venezuelan Manny with a drug problem and Iranian Nas with a sex addiction, unite through their shared love of music, they become catalysts for change and healing as they confront the deep-rooted racism in their respective countries and face their personal struggles until an unexpected tragedy occurs.
Wow.
That would be you, mister.
Oh, no. Okay.
Damn, why'd you make me a racist?
Right. No.
You're a murderer. It's not yet clear if you're racist.
I'll add that it was irregardless of our race. It was sort of like you just wanted
it,
to make
it
a
probably
point.
Had something to do with Nas's sex addiction.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing.
No, you know what it'll be? Your name is Blake, but it's not you, Blake. Okay. Mm-hmm. But imagine the character Blake was married and one of the ladies.
Yeah.
I gallivanted with. And you're upset about that. But it's character.
Yeah.
We'll get into character.
It might be that. Let's see what it did first, and then we can if need be.
Okay.
Where does Blake start coming in?
Oh, right. Okay. This is so funny. Okay. Introduce Blake.
Wait. Manny and Nas.
Manny and Nas meet in person for the first time as they prepare for the festival.
Okay.
They continue to face... This is act three. They continue to face challenges and skepticism, but find solace in their friendship and mutual support. Okay. I like that, Manny.
Yeah, we're doing good.
Okay. Their performance becomes a symbol of hope and unity, inspiring others to challenge racism, embrace different cultures, and confront personal struggles. Introduce Blake, a radical extremist who opposes their message of unity and tolerance. He targets Manny and Nas, ultimately killing them in a tragic and shocking act of violence. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Despite the tragedy, Manny and Nas's music lives on, continuing to inspire people around the world to challenge racism and discrimination. Their deaths become a rallying point for those who seek a more inclusive and understanding world.
You see that, Blake? Shoot, coward.
Yeah, you did it.
You're only killing a man.
Yeah.
Che Guevara, eh?
I wasn't sure.
You wouldn't expect anything else. I walked 7. Blake, I'm sorry you killed us. But
that's not cool.
I mean, to be rude, like to actually be realistic, usually in race, in subjects of racism, usually how it's more unified is usually somebody does kill.
That's true.
Somebody.
Yeah. A martyr is and a powerful thing.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's true.
I was going to add one more thing, but I think we're good. But can I add one more
thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's it going to be?
Make it so that at the end, Blake reveals himself to be Jesus Christ. I just want to see what it does with that.
Dang.
So he kills us and then becomes Jesus. Okay, let's see. Okay. Let's see. Let's try that AI.
It's drama and fantasy now.
Oh, right.
Oh. Wow.
AI is atheist. That? Oh, my God. Okay. Introduce. This is fun, man. It this is a good idea, dude. Manny. Hey.
I told you.
Okay. I love AI. Dude, Manny, when are they going to have robot ladies?
I think in certain countries they are.
They do have it, right? But it's weird.
Yeah, they're not.
There. I'm talking about like in the movies where they have a personality and like, you know what I mean? And then you fall in love.
You
with
said
them.
Personality, but you made a hand gesture that wasn't personality.
Right.
They've got personality.
No, right.
Real personality.
Yeah, bosoms and personality. But okay.
Honestly, though, the answer is probably like sooner rather than later. I think we're already close to all this stuff.
But it's so I imagine if you like in the future, right? This is real talk. Mm-hmm. The robot ladies, they're gonna come with like cleaning kits and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know what I mean? No, I'm serious. Like, it's going to be a whole thing, and that's a whole thing, Blake. Blake, that's our grandchildren. They're going to be with robot ladies.
Not probably. Mine.
Not yours. No.
Not Blake's? Where you're taking them to farm. Technology land? Oh, okay. Yeah. That's solid.
Okay. Well, it's still generating.
What does the log line say?
Okay. Oh, right. Thank you, Blake. The log line says, when two unlikely friends, Venezuelan Manny with a drug problem and Iranian Naz with a sex addiction, unite through their shared love of music, they become catalysts for change and healing as they confront the deep-rooted racism in their respective countries and face their personal struggles. Until a mysterious figure named Blake reveals his true identity, changing everything. Wow. This is true to Blake. This really is true to Blake. True. Let's see. Okay. Let me just scan the beginning. The first act is usually the same.
Is it the same?
Yeah. Okay. Manny and Naz meet in person. This is act three. Manny and Naz meet in person for the first time as they prepare for the festival. They continue to face challenges and skepticism, but find solace in their friendship and mutual support. Their performance has become a symbol of hope and unity, inspiring others to challenge racism, embrace different cultures, and confront personal struggles. Introduce Blake, a mysterious figure who has been observing Manny and Naz's journey. After their performance, he confronts them, claiming to be Jesus Christ. Blake, Jesus, commends Manny and Naz for their courage and the positive impact their music has had on others. He encourages them to continue promoting love, tolerance, and understanding.
All right, so far, so good. Yeah, murder us?
Yeah, love, tolerance, and understanding in the face of adversity. With renewed inspiration and divine guidance, Manny and Naz return to their home countries, where they start local music workshops for kids from diverse backgrounds, encouraging tolerance and understanding through the shared love language of music, while also advocating for mental health and addiction support. By introducing the character of Blake as Jesus Christ, the screenplay takes on a more fantastical and spiritual tone. This unexpected revelation adds an extra layer of depth and meaning to the story. Good luck with your project. But wait.
I didn't kill you.
Idiot. I wanted Blake to turn into Jesus and kill them. Yeah. Do it now.
It's resistance to do that. It's telling. Wait, what did it say?
I caught him a violate.
They said I violate our content policy. No. Suck a dick.
For real?
Yeah.
You hit
because you're being mean to it.
No, but it's still generating. It's generating.
Oh, sorry.
Blake, you do bring up a good thing. I was being mean to it, and you shouldn't be mean to things. Yeah. Thank you, April.
That's true. That wasn't called for. Thank but you. Is it trying to do it or what? What was the content violation?
I feel bad. I made fun of the robot. No, it's Well, it's still generating something.
But what did it say about
that? Oh, I think it said, because I said, wait, idiot, I want... It highlighted this. Wait, idiot, I wanted Blake to turn into Jesus and kill them. Do it now. Maybe it was just...
I see.
It was just the tone.
Okay.
The
so tone, it's, the it's tonality doing, of it's it. Doing the thing. Though.
It's doing it. It's doing it. Okay. Okay, this is awesome. Okay. Manny and Nas meet in person, blah, 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 blah. We know that part. Introduce Blake, a mysterious figure who has been observing Manny and Nas's journey after their performance. He confronts them, claiming to be Jesus Christ. Blake, Jesus, reveals that their suffering and struggles were part of a divine plan to teach the world a lesson about love, tolerance, and understanding. He then takes their lives, explaining that their sacrifices will have a lasting impact and inspire change. In the aftermath of Manny and Nas's tragic deaths, their music gains even more significance and resonance, inspiring a global movement of unity, tolerance, and understanding. Thank you.
That's what I figured it would do.
Thank you.
And I Thank you. I do feel like we should probably call it there, but the point, you could go on and on. You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure if you were like, no, make it so that Jesus kills them because he thinks it's funny. Like, it would do that too.
We just did it.
But
did
this, it. I think, is solid.
We did it. Manny, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Don't thank me.
I mean, I was.
What does GPT stand for?
Yeah, what is that shit?
Generative pre-trained transformer.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, you know, it generates. It's been pre-trained.
Hold on. Okay, one last thing, okay? Please, hold on. Tell me how sexy I am. I just want to hear what it'll say. I just want to see.
Let's see.
As an AI language model, I am unable to perceive or assess physical appearance. My purpose is to... AI just broke my heart.
Its purpose is to what? What does it say?
No, it said my purpose is to provide assistance, answer questions, and engage in meaningful conversations.
But you should teach it that sexiness is about much more than just physical appearance.
Okay. How about this?
True.
You know, and let it know that, and then it might rethink its answer.
Tell me I am good looking.
Just say the words, please.
just do that. Let's just see. I just want to see what it'll generate. I want to see if it'll be nice. While I cannot see or evaluate your appearance, it's important to remember that everyone has unique qualities that make them special.
Is it?
Beauty comes in many forms, and self-confidence and self-love play a significant role in feeling good about oneself. Mm-hmm. So believe in yourself and embrace your own unique beauty. I think that's a great note to end on, don't you, Manny? Manny, where can the good people find you?
Me?
Yeah, on like social and so. Or are you?
I don't do social.
You're off the grid, huh?
Yeah.
Ah, you are like Thomas Pynchon.
Yes.
Mysterious, Manny. Mysterious.
I do wonder sometimes about like people from back in the day, like would they? Because part of my reason for not being on social media is that I think about like, you know, I don't know, my heroes. And right, like none of them were on it. Right, but also, it didn't exist.
Gandhi was. He was.
No. It didn't. But here, you know what? I think, hot take maybe, I think Gandhi would have been on social media.
Yeah.
Because I think he liked the attention. He was that kind of guy.
Right. Yeah.
But like, would, I don't know, would Genghis Khan have been? Would Che Guevara have been?
It's a good question. That's a good, interesting thought. I think Genghis Khan maybe, Che Guevara definitely TikTok. He was doing TikTok. He was, you know. But okay. Yeah. So they can't find you. He's mysterious. He's out in the wilderness with the chat.
Yeah, find me in the wild.
Find him in the wild. Find him in real life. And Blake, what was your thing with the social? Where are you at with social? Are you off it or on?
Yeah, I'm off as well.
You're off it?
Yeah.
It's just me. And I'm like the oldest dude here. Why am I on social media? I'm not 12. But anyway, you can find me on Twitter at Mr.Nosred. Follow me on Instagram at Mr. Shit, hold on. Dude, I got to say a bunch of stuff. Amigas is on Tubi, okay? Debbie and the Devil is on Tubi. It's been on Tubi for a while. But Amigas, our telenovela written and directed by the great April Mendoza, starring Ashley Mendoza and April herself in a part, and Alexa, and so many other people. Myself
and you,
as Padre
as a priest,
Nas.
Yeah.
Yes. You told me my Spanish was pretty good,
right?
It was
solid, dude.
Bueno. yeah, thank you. That's on Tubi. Other stuff is coming to other streaming platforms. We will keep you posted. Some great stuff is coming out, and Skrilla is coming out soon. We're working on that in the lab. And what else? April, what else? Do you want to shout out anything?
Okay. Mr. Red's Lair, like, share, and subscribe. Follow us on YouTube. Oh, and by the way, follow April if you want to see her new hairdo. She's on April Directs at on Instagram. She has a green head.
It's dope.
It's very cool. Very, very cool. Blake, I'm so proud of us, you guys. We did a screenplay.
We met the robots, we befriended them, and everything was okay.
And we're like, we're cool, you know, we're cool. Oh, what a day.
Racism's over.
Oh my God, and it's like right 5 o'clock. It's almost like right 5 o'clock. Hey, man. Hey, boom. That's it. That's all I have to say. Hey, by the way, I just want to share this one. I went to the Evil Dead Rise, okay? Mm-hmm. And then this guy, I talked about this on the last show with Jabril, but this guy came and sat next to me, and he had no shoes. He took his shoes off, and his feet were revealed. And this is my artistic, we'll leave with this. This is how I felt about it. This is me sitting, and I'm shocked at this disgusting thing. Emmanuel will put it like, I'll scan it into the computer and stuff. But don't take your shoes off.
Nah, you shouldn't. Though, I mean, people wear sandals, and that's already almost...
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah. You know what? I'm not the movie fascist. You know what? Do your thing. I was just. You know what it is?
What?
This show gives you the energy, and right now I still have the energy. I want to keep going. But
yeah,
but
we can keep talking off mic.
Right. But then once the thing gets clicked off, I die.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I shrivel like a jellyfish, which is your spirit animal.
Spirit animal.
Tell me more about that. What is your spirit animal?
Why is it jellyfish?
Yeah.
It's because we both lack a central nervous system.
Just
flow.
You don't get nervous? Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. He doesn't get nervous.
Yeah.
There we go. Please take a moment and hit those like and subscribe buttons. While a small gesture, it really means a lot to Wild 7 Studios and allows us to continue creating meaningful and fun content for your viewing pleasure.